Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It is widely considered the most successful advertising campaign of the 20th century. It's 1959, and the American auto industry has come into its own. Ford, GM, and Chrysler are building larger, more powerful, and more luxurious cars every year. So what does a relatively unknown German automaker do to compete? Something totally unexpected. Rather than load their promotion with details about the newest innovations or choose the bold and striking colors common to ads of that day, they created an advertisement with a large, predominantly white background and a small black and white picture of the Volkswagen Beetle, positioned in the top left quadrant of the ad, designed to direct the consumer's eye to two words at the bottom of the page. Think small. 5 years later, the previously unknown VW Beetle was the US's top import. And today, Volkswagen is the second largest automaker in the world. Think small. I thought of this ad when reading St. Luke's Christmas story this year, as nearly 2,000 years earlier, Luke employed a similar strategy. Notice how he begins. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. This is exactly the way any first century historian would begin, by locating their story among the leading figures of the day. Augustus, you know, the founder of the Roman Empire, the guy we've named the month of August after. And then Quirinius, the Roman governor of all of Syria, including the province of Judea. Yes, this is the way great histories start. But then it all changes. Almost immediately, Luke shifts his focus from the most powerful people in the world to Joseph, a no-account carpenter, and his pregnant fiancée, Mary, an illiterate teenager. They are, in the most Dylan-esque sense of the phrase, complete unknowns. This would not be the way a typical historian would write. It would be kind of like starting out in the final year of the presidency of Joseph R. Biden, when Timothy J. Walz was governor of Minnesota, the women of the Radiant Circle at Mount Olivet Lutheran Church held their 94th annual lutefisk dinner. It's not that lutefisk dinners don't matter, far from it. It's just we don't normally imagine them as contending in world affairs. The same is true here. As Luke's unconventional history not only begins with these two unlikely characters, but follows them to the backwater town of Bethlehem, where they can't find anywhere to stay and so take refuge in a stable, give birth to their first child, and have nowhere better to place him than in a feeding trough. Then, almost adding insult to injury, Luke tells us that the first witnesses to his birth are not political or religious leaders, but instead are common, everyday, even dirty shepherds, those who live at the very bottom of the socioeconomic ladder and wield no social influence whatsoever. Do you see what I mean? Luke's Christmas story is embarrassingly small. And that is his point. Luke knows, you see, that when we think about God, we tend to think big. Creator of the universe, big. Thunder and lightning big, far more like Zeus, quite frankly, than the baby Jesus. But Luke wants us to think small. Why? Because Luke knows that sooner or later the events of this life will conspire to make us feel small. Not all the time, of course. We each have moments of accomplishment and contentment and thanksgiving. But we each also have moments of insecurity, disappointment, and isolation. Whether it's the sudden onslaught of illness or the loss of a loved one. Whether it's the disappointment of dashed hopes or old wounds unexpectedly open. Whether it's the ache of still being alone when you thought you'd be with someone now, or worse, the deeper ache of feeling alone in a relationship you thought would sustain you. At these moments, we can feel so small, wonder what's wrong with us, and question if we matter, if anyone really cares, even maybe especially if God cares. In response, Luke confesses that in the ordinary birth of that child to those remarkably unremarkable parents, God became one of us, taking on our lot and our lives, experiencing everything we experience, living and working and loving and dying like we do, so that we might know and believe that God gets us, God loves us, God accepts us just as we are. Think small, because that's where God meets us. The Christmas story promises that God is not just active in dramatic events of world history, but also, and more palpably, in the tender and fragile moments and struggles of our lives. The birth of a child, or the inability to conceive. The tender smile we share with a loved one, or the painful distance we feel from those we love most. The hope of peace in a new year, or the fear of continued division and strife. God is right there. I love the story of a young girl, a kindergartner, coloring furiously away, so focused that her teacher was curious. "What are you drawing?" she asked, to which the little girl replied, "A picture of God." After hesitating for a moment, the teacher said gently, "You know, no one really knows what God looks like." Undeterred, the little girl kept on coloring and then, without looking up, muttered, "Well, they will in a minute." That is exactly what St. Luke is up to with this unusual story, telling us that God looks just like this vulnerable baby, born in a manger to ordinary parents who then grew up to love the unlovable, accept the unacceptable, forgive those who seem unforgivable, and to invite us to do the same. I am regularly struck by the poignant reality that while Christmas is for so many of us the most wonderful time of the year, it is also, and again for many of us, one of the most difficult times of the year. You know what I mean? The imperfections of our family seem more painful than usual. The achievements of the past year feel overshadowed by disappointments. Our best efforts to make a difference proved ineffective. Whatever. At these moments, the song of the angels promising peace on earth and goodwill to all suddenly rings hollow. But lately, I have wondered if St. Luke's advice might help us here too. Maybe we're thinking too big. Maybe it's not just that God meets us precisely where we feel small, but also invites us to meet each other there too. Maybe peace and love aren't goals to strive for, but instead are gifts to share, and in the sharing, experience more fully. Maybe Luke's unusually small story promises that God is working through our relatively small efforts. The smile we afford a neighbor, the help we offer a stranger, the donation of time or talent to a good cause, the willingness to risk ourselves for the sake of another, that God works through all of these things to spread the peace and love of the Christ child in a world that desperately needs it. African American theologian Howard Thurman, a mentor to Martin Luther King Jr., put it this way in a poem he wrote in 1973. "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back to their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, and in this way to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among neighbors, and to make music in the heart. Faced with a world and people just insecure enough that they regularly hurt themselves and each other, what did God, creator of the universe, do? Something totally unexpected. Rather than come with an army of angels promising retribution, God instead came in the small, frail form of a baby. All so that you would know, especially when you feel small, that you are loved and accepted, that you are enough, and that you too have something to share. So what do you think? Can you imagine it? That in those days, when Joseph R. Biden was in the final year of his presidency and Timothy J. Walz was governor of Minnesota, the people of Mount Olivet reached out to those in need, cared for those overlooked, celebrated triumphs small and large, held onto each other through thick and thin, and yes, even held another lutefisk dinner, and in all these ways proclaimed the love of God for all and did the work of Christmas. May it be so. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas.